We'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Zayin. So remember, again, we left off with the discussion, which is still open, regarding Bia Rishona on Shabbos. And we already saw the major machlokas that occurred in yesterday's daf. The truth is we've already had it for the last week. We've had it Shabbos and Sunday. Machlokas Abayi and Rava seem to hinge on a machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So says the Gemara the following. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami, second line from the top, Zayin Amud Aleph. Rabbi Ami, Shor LaMivo B'Tchila B'Shabbos. Rabbi Ami allowed for Bia Rishona to occur on Shabbos. Amri Li Rabbanon. I v'halo kasiva k'suvas. So and I'll say that this is a very interesting statement. So the Rabbanon said to him, but one second, how can you allow Bia Rishona to happen on Shabbos? She doesn't have a k'suv yet. Now, I'll say, now what's interesting is the Gemara is raising a different issue. Forget about the dam. Forget about the bleeding or the chabura or the injury that may be caused. She doesn't have a k'suva. Now, I'll say, now the Rush points out and others point out that it appears from this statement that for some, that there were some customs to write the k'suva after the chuppah. I think suva after the chuppah, or even after shever brachos of the wedding feast, of the wedding day. In which case, if a person is getting married Friday afternoon, so it could be that by the time Shabbos starts, she doesn't have a ksuva. Now, this is very important. You are not permitted to live with your wife without a ksuva. Now, the reason why this is important is because, you know, sometimes people, when they're looking at old documents, so they find the ksuva, and for some reason there's a mistake in it. If you have that, it is very important, not that anybody has that, but if a person happens to find that, it's very important that a person gets that rectified immediately, because the halacha is that a person is not permitted to live with his wife without a proper ksuva. So they asked the Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon asks Rabbi Ami, I don't understand. How can you go ahead and have Bia Rishona on Shabbos? Perhaps she doesn't have her ksuva. Supposed to listen to this. Amrlu, and this is very important. So they said. So Rabbi Ami said, Atfasua metaltalin. You know what we do in a situation where there is not time to write up the document? We have her take metaltalin. We have her seize property. So she takes his gold. She takes his gold, she takes his watch, she takes his wallet, whatever it is, she's able to seize certain property, and that property pretty much represents her ksuva obligation until the point in time where he's actually able to write her ksuva. Now, I will say, you should just know, this has contemporary ramifications as well, because interestingly enough, there are poskim that bring down that, let's say, a wife is going through her papers, and she finds her ksuva, and she says to her husband, look how funny this is, right? So, you know, your name is Reuven. Birlan the ksuva, the Messiah, the Kiddushin, put in there Yitzchak. Isn't that cute? And so that's not so cute, right? Because you know, whatever, not in Val ksuva. So we'll say, now let's say it's late at night. So you're not going to get the ksuva done at night. So what do? So here's the problem. The problem is literally, according to many opinions, there's an Isra Yichud when a woman doesn't have a ksuva. So many of the contemporary posts can bring down, it's not a problem. You write your wife a check. First, you have to get the checkbook back from her. And then you have to go ahead and you write her a check, right? So you go ahead and you write her a check essentially for the amount of the ksuva. Now, I will say, the amount of the ksuva is tied into the value of silver. So that could be anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000. So a person may not have sufficient funds, right, in the checking account to be able to post-date it, right? Give her 27 post-dated checks. Right? And so the idea over here is you don't have to have necessarily the funds in the account to be able to go ahead and collect from it the same way that a man may not have the money that the ksuva represents either. But the idea is that the check represents a promise to pay. So according to many poskim, that could serve as a stopgap measure. If a woman doesn't have a ksuva, just to be able to allow the couple to live together until a proper ksuva is written. So therefore, again, Rabbi Ami said, don't worry. In a case where they couldn't write the ksuva, and again, the truth is this case doesn't really come up as much because we write our ksuva on the front end of the wedding. But no, so Ami said she would take metaltlin. Rav Zvid shar lemival b'Shabbos. Rav Zvid permitted Bia Rishona on Shabbos. Ika da Amri, others explain Rav Zvid gufei baal b'tchila b'Shabbos. Interesting enough, others explain that Rav Zvid himself, when he got married, so the Bia Rishona occurred on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda shavar lemival b'tchila b'yamtiv, and Rav Yehuda permitted Bia Rishona on Yamtiv. I'm not going to go back over all of this because remember, with yesterday's daf, We did all of this already discussing the why, so we're not going to go through all of that again. But Rabbi Yehuda permitted Bir Rishon on Yom Tov. Now, Amar Papi, now, Rabbi, this is the first time we're ever hearing anything about Yom Tov. Amar Papi Mishmei Dirava, Lev Tema Bi Yom Tov, Deshari Ha B'Shabbos Aser. Now, what does that mean when it says that Rabbi Yehuda permitted Bir Rishon on Yom Tov? Is that don't say? So Rabbi Papi says, don't say that that means that he's permitting it on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. Duha Din Dafilu B'Shabbos, not Mishari. Rather, again, he says Bir Rishon is permitted even on Shabbos. Aye, so why does he mention Yom Tov? Umaisa Shahaya. Because of also, that's what happened. Because that was the Maisa. Because what ended up happening was that he was asked about a case of Biyah Rishona on Yom Tov. Therefore, again, his response was Biyah Rishona could occur on Yom Tov. But he wasn't saying Yom Tov and not Shabbos, but rather it was understood that just like it's permitted on Yom Tov, it's permitted also on Shabbos. Rav Papa Mishmei Derava. Rav Papa, the name of Rava, said, Amar B'Yom Tov Shari B'Shabbos Aser. Oh, this is very interesting. So Rav Papa comes along and says, name of Rava, nope. On Yom Tov it's permitted. Bir Rishon is permitted on Yom Tov, but it is Aser on Shabbos. So Amar Li Rav Papa, the Rav Papa. So Rav Papa said to Rav Papa, my datech, what are you thinking? Meaning, like, why are you making a distinction between Shabbos? Because also remember, everything we've seen up until this point, Davar Sheino Miskaven, causing a chabura, causing bleeding, all of these things would seem to apply equally on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So says Rav Papi to Rav Papa, why are you making a distinction between Bir Rishon and Shabbos, which you're saying is Aser, and Bir Rishon and Yom Tov, which is Mutter? So Amar Li Rav Papi, Rav Papa, my datech, are you saying, Mitoch Shehutra Chabur Letzorech, Hutra Namishlo Tzorech? So remember, this is taking us back to our Beitza days. Sarem Sechas Be'a, we saw the concept of Mitoch. So Mitoch on Yom Tov says that once something is permitted for Ochal Nefesh purposes, it becomes permitted even for non-Ochal Nefesh purposes as well. So are you saying that once making a chabura, once drawing blood, is permitted for Ochal Nefesh purposes? Mi Rabbah said, when is drawing blood permitted for Ochal Nefesh purposes? Shechita, right? You could shecht an animal on Yom Tov for the sake of your Yom Tov Suda. So Mitoch says, once something is permitted for Ochal Nefesh, it's permitted for something for other purposes as well. Therefore, once it's permitted to draw blood for Shechita purposes, so perhaps you're going to say you're permitted to draw blood in the Bir Rishona as well. Ela Me'ata, well, if that's the case, Mutra Lasos Mugmar Yom Tov, then you should be able to make Mugmar. Now, I will say, what's Mugmar? So Rashi says over here, Mugmar B'samim Ala. So this is like potpourri. So people used to go ahead and, I was going to say smoke herbs, but that doesn't sound right. Right? People would go ahead and they take incense, they put it on the fire. Now they did that with the intention of perfuming. That's what Rashi points out over here. He says, Ligmor asakilim v'esabegadim, to perfume utensils and clothing. So also, remember, the common person, as we're going to see, didn't necessarily do mugmar. It was really for more personal, it was like an istinus. So an istinus is a little bit more like what we'll call like a fastidious individual. Someone who's very delicate. Very delicate. And a person like that was very, very delicate, very sensitive to negative odors, to bad odors. So therefore, a person like that would perfume their clothing and their utensils. So that Rav Papi says, well, let me ask you, are you telling me then that on Yom Tov you could do mugmar? Now, Bosa, the issue of mugmar, of course, is bishul, essentially. It's an act of cooking because you're placing the herbs on top of the fire. Are you telling me that you'd be permitted? Because after all, I could say, since bishul is permitted for ochal nefesh purposes, it's permitted for perfuming purposes as well. Since an act of kindling is permitted for ochal nefesh purposes, to cook, it's also permitted for non-ochal nefesh purposes, like perfuming my clothing. Amar Lei, Rav Papa said, Alecha Amar Kra, about you, the Pasuk said, Ach Asher Ye'achel L'chol Nefesh. The Pasuk says, Rabbi, when it comes to the license to do Malacha on Yom Tov, that is limited to something that is consumed by every person. Davar Hashava L'chol Nefesh. It has to be something that is considered to be a need by all individuals. We're both saying, in other words, what Rav Papa is saying is that as much as we believe in the concept of mitoch, and mitoch says that once something is permitted for ochal nefesh purposes, it's permitted even for non-ochal nefesh purposes, but the only thing that is permitted is something that is considered to be a normative need. But if something is not a normative need, then lemaisa, it's not permitted under the umbrella of ochel nefesh. Therefore, the Gemara, Rav Papa, is suggesting mugmar is not considered to be a normative need. Why? Because the common person doesn't need mugmar. Common person doesn't need it. It's only the particular, the very delicate individuals who need it. Amali Rav Acha b'Rav Rava l'Rav Ashi. Rav Acha b'Rav Rava said to Rav Ashi. Elamei Atav, that's the case. Nizdamin lo tzvi biyamtiv. If Rabosa, if the person caught, or not caught, let's say a deer walked into my backyard on Yom Tiv, so meaning now I want to shech the deer, so perhaps we should say, Hovil ve'eno shava l'chol nefesh, hachanami da'as l'mishchete. I will say, remember, venison is a much, I'm assuming it is still now, I don't know, right? Venison is a much more expensive meat, right? Much more expensive meat. So let's say now the deer walks into my backyard, lays down right next to the shechita knife, right? Lifts its head up, right? So mamish, mesheshes mebereshes, it wants me to eat venison on Yom Tov. So what says, maybe I'd say, you know what, I can't eat that. I can't do malach at the shechita on Yom Tov. Why? Because venison, perhaps, is not a davar hashava l'chol nefesh v'nefesh, because most people don't eat venison. So perhaps then I shouldn't be able to go out and shech the deer on Yom Tov. Amar le ana davar hatzorach l'chol nefesh kamina, tzvi tzorach l'chol nefesh. Rabbi said, no. You see, you're getting things mixed up. See, the venison is an act of eating. Eating is something that is shava l'chol nefesh v'nefesh. Once you're in the realm of eating, we don't really care what it is that you're eating. We don't start saying, you know, most people eat this and people don't eat this. That we don't get into that. What we're looking at is at the act. And the act of eating itself is something that is shava l'chol nefesh v'nefesh. And the truth is, most people, if you gave them the opportunity to eat venison, would eat the venison as well. Therefore, l'maisa, you're permitted to shech the deer. On the other hand, mugmar, the act itself of burning the incense to perfume, clothing, or kelim, is not an action that is done by most people. Therefore, it's not permitted to do so on Yom Tov. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Hora Rav Yochanan B'Tzaidon. So we'll say now we're going back to Piskei Halacha. So Rav Yochanan B'Tzaidon, Rav Yochanan and Tzaidon and Sidon, Paskin, Aser Livol B'Tchila B'Shabbos. It is Aser to go ahead and engage in Bia Rishona on Shabbos. So the Gemara just says as a side point here, Umi Ika Hora Ale Iser. Now we'll say now what's interesting is the following. The Lashon over here is Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, said that Rabbi Yochanan was Hora, that he instructed. Now, the Gemara says, the Lashon of Hora usually is used when someone permits something, right? Why is he using over here the Lashon of Hora when he's prohibiting something? Now, to understand what's happening over here, look at Rashi. Umi ika Hora ale iser. Umi kari iser Hora. Is it, do we call it that you're issuing a Hora, a teaching when you're answering something? Mishum dechol adam rashay lahachmir. Because also remember, it's always easy to be machmir. V'ha oser in ze smichas dvarim. Shafilu min ha-safek shen alacha brura lo. Hu bava oser. Aval ha-matir somich al shmu aso. O asvar eschach maso. V'hi Hora. Now what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that normally the Lashon of Hora is used when someone permits something. Because Hora'a means someone is advancing something novel, or someone is advancing something that perhaps you did not have known before. So to say something that's Aser, that's easy. You could always say something is Aser. Out of doubt, you could say something is Aser. And with lack of knowledge, you could say something is Aser. So we don't usually find the Lashon of Hora'a by an Iser, only by a Heter. So why is it that Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, why did he use that Lashon of Hora, that Rabbi Yochanan said that you can't engage in a Biyah Rishona on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Umiki Hora'a Iser in, yes there is, V'hatnan horohu beis hilal shetein zira od sheva shalom achiros. It was an interesting case. Rashi points out that Hilani Amalka made a neder. Her son went off to war, and she made a neder that if her son comes back from war, she'll be a nezira for 7 years. And what happens? She made this neder outside of Chutz La'aretz, and she was a nezira for 7 years. When she came back to Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis told her that she had to repeat the neder. Why? Because it wasn't for when you're a nazir, you cannot be exposed to any kind of corpse tumah. And remember, Chutz La'aretz is blanketed by rabbinic corpse tumah. The assumption is that outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's rabbinic tumah everywhere. Therefore, she had to repeat it. So the point the Gemara is making over there is what? Is that you see that the Lashon of Hora is used by an Isser. V'inam, another example, Ki Adesanyo, Chut HaShedra, Shenifsak Barubo. If you have the spinal cord, we'll say this is talking about an animal, that's a trefa, right? If the Chut HaShedra, Shenifsak Barubo, Divi Rebbe. Rebbe says the animals are trefa if the majority of the spine is severed. Rebbe Yaakov Omer, Afilu Nikev. Rebbe Yaakov says, no, even if the spine is just perforated a little bit, there's an Isser. Hora Rebbe Ki Rebbe Yaakov. And Rebbe Paskind like Rebbe Yaakov. So we'll say here you see another Lashon of Hora by an Isser. Amar Rav Huna, Ein Halacha K'Rab Yaakov Bar Nachman. Excuse me, Ein Halacha K'Rab Yaakov. The Halacha does not follow Rebbe Yaakov. Okay. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masni Hachi, Amri Abi Avau, Sha'o Reb Shimon Ben Yaakov Dimitzuos Rebbe Yochanan B'Tzaidon, Va'ana Shami. And we heard the following. Mahu Livo B'Tchila B'Shav. So we'll say this is the end of the Sugya. So finally again, what is the bottom line? Is Bia Rishona permitted on Shabbos or not? So we'll say, just so you should know, just that previous piece, so you've established the Lashon of Hora is in fact used by Isra as well, not just by Heter. Fine. Now back to our Sugya. So what is the Halacha for Bia Rishona on Shabbos? V'amri lei, Aser. So he responded, it's Aser v'hilchasa, but the Gemara says the Halacha is Mutar livo betchila b'Shabbos. Rabbi said the halacha is that one is permitted to engage in bia rishona on Shabbos. Rabbi said the Shulchan Aruch over here in Simon Reish Pei is actually in Hilcho Shabbos. Simon Reish Pei says the following. Mutter, this is in Reish Pei Beis. Mutter livol b'tchila b'Shabbos lechatchila b'Shabbos. Excuse me. Mutter livol lechatchila b'sula b'Shabbos. Ve'ein bo mishum chovel v'lo mishum tzarla. So both say saloch l'maisu shchonarach paskins that you are permitted to engage in bia rishona, and it's not considered to be chovel. It's not considered to be injuring the woman. Rashi says over here mishum chovel the dam mifkad pocket. Da'hainu shadam besulim ena muvla b'kas le'beis harechem. Elakanos husham kimufkad umutzna besochakli v'zeh pesacho sheyetzi adam mitocho. So we'll say, so the halacha is, so the Mishnah Berurah says why? Because we accept the approach of the Gemara of dam mifkad pakid, that the blood of the hymenal blood, the dam besulim, is considered to be absorbed outside of the body. It's not considered to be absorbed in the body. It's considered to be absorbed in the besulim itself. Therefore, the act of bia rishona is not considered to be an act of drawing out blood, and therefore halacha lemaaseh is permitted. Now, the Mishnah Berurah does point out, he says, v'hine yesh omrim shenispashet haminog lahachmir bazeh ein lahakil bohem. So, interestingly enough, so the Ramah does quote that there are certain places where the minog was to be machmir on this and not to engage in bia rishona on Shabbos. And Mishnah Berurah says, if you live in a place where there's a chumrah, one should not be mekel. Aval ataz kasav chalila la'asos iser bazeh. The Taz, however, felt that it was very inappropriate to prohibit this particular practice of bia rishona on Shabbos. O beber shamati shachasidim gaone olam na'agu ba'atzmam heter bazeh. Ve'ein chashash chumra, v'alkin ein chashash chumra bazeh klal, v'hamachmir eino ela min hamatimin. So the Taz takes a very strong approach. The Taz says, it's not aser, and if you're machmir on this, it's simply foolish. So I'll say, so again, bottom line, again, this is Rishi. This halacha also appears in Evan HaEzer. I'll just quote it to you from Hilchos Shabbos. So halacha l'maaseh Gemara Paskins, bia rishona is permitted on Shabbos. Weiter, says the Gemara. Amr Abi Chaba, Amr Avuna, Amr Abi Abba, Bar Zavdo, Amr Av Acha. B'sachas b'sula v'achas amara tu'una bracha. So we'll say now we're getting into the Sheva brachas Gemara. This is a really beautiful Gemara. So it comes along Rabbi Chaba, Sadin Rav Huna, name Rabbi Abba, Bar Zavda, name of Rav. Both a b'sula and an amana have Sheva brachas. So we'll say bracha over here in this context means Sheva brachas. Umi amar Rav Huna hachi, did Rav Huna really say this? V'amar Rav Huna, but yet Rav Huna said amana eina tu'una bracha. But yet we learned elsewhere that Rav Huna said that an amana doesn't have sheva brachas. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan bebachar shenasa amana, kan ba'amo shenasa amana. So we'll also listen to this. So the Gemara makes an interesting distinction. Everything depends on the marriage. If one of the parties, if this is the first marriage for them, then there is sheva brachas. But if both of the parties for them is a second marriage, then there are no Sheva Brachas. Now what the Gemara is assuming we're talking about over here is 7 days of Brachas. Not just Sheva Brachas, like 7 days. So again, if one of the parties have never been married before, Sheva Brachas the entire 7 days. Both the parties have been married before, no Sheva Brachas. Now, the Gemara says, one second. Are you telling me then that a widow, so the Gemara uses the example of a widow who marries a widower. But remember, it's not limited to that. It's any case of second marriage, divorcee, whatever else, doesn't matter. So are you telling me that in a second marriage, there's no Sheva Brachas? Vaha Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna Bar Nasan, Tana, we learned, Minayin Lebirchas, Chasana Ba'asara, how do we know that Sheva Brachas requires 10? Shene Emar, Vayikach Asara Anoshe Mizikni Ha'ir, Vayomer Shivu Lachem Po, Vayeshivu. So what happened? He took 10 elders from, 10 people, 10 men, from the elders of the city, and he told them, sit here. And they sat. And Abba said, where is this from? Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus. Now Abba said, the Gemara's assumption over here is that these 10 men were gathered for Sheva Brachas. And who's getting married over here? Uboaz Almon, Shenasa Almona. And yet Boaz was a widower who was marrying Rus, who was a widow. And yet what do you see here? That there was Sheva Brachas. So the Gemara says, "My ain't a tuna bracha." What does it mean when we say that an almon who marries an almona, the second marriage of both, and they don't need a bracha? Dem Ravuna ain't a tuna bracha kol zayin. It means that they do not require sheva brachas all 7 days. Aval yom echad tuna bracha, but they do have sheva brachas when on the day they get married. And I will say that is halacha lemaisa. If you have two people who are having both, it's a second marriage or third marriage or fourth marriage, meaning anything after the first marriage for both of them, Saloch Lamai said they only have Sheva Brachas on the day they get married. Now, this is important. What that means is every meal that they have with a group of people that day, there'll be Sheva Brachas at that meal. So, meaning, obviously, under the Chuppah, the Sheva Brachas, under the wedding suit, the Sheva Brachas. But let's say they get married in the morning and they have a Seuda for the wedding and then they have lunch. And so then there's Sheva Brachas again. And then they have dinner, let's say before sunset, the Sheva Brachas again. But Sheva Brachas is limited to the first day. But that which we learned, but yet that which we learned, that the rabbis were careful to establish an enactment for the Jewish women, that a man who, this is talking about, that a man who marries a woman should be misamech, should be besimcha with her for 3 days. Rabbi said, halavai, they should be simcha until 120. What does it mean for 3 days? It means that in this case, that they didn't want him going to work. You know, they wanted him being home with his wife for the first 3 days. So, b'mai, who is this talking about? Ibe bachar ha'amret shiva. So, if it's talking about a bachar, meaning if it's talking about a first marriage, they have a din of 7 days of Sheva Brachas. If it's about a widow or her married a widow, ha amar yom echad. You said there's only 1 day of celebration. So the Gemara says, ibayis ema ba'almon yom echad lebracha ushlosh lesimcha. So I'll say one possibility is, what does it mean? It means that as much as there's only 1 day of sheva brachas for a widow and widower who get married, but there's 3 days of simcha. So there might be only 1 day of bracha, but yet 3 days where we want them to celebrate their new marriage with one another. V'ibayisim, and the other possibility is, b'bachar shiva lebracha, shlosh lesimcha. Or the other possibility is that even in a first marriage, there's 7 days of sheva brachas, but only 3 days of mandated simcha. Only 3 days of mandated simcha. So Amud Beis. So Mar says, Meisve, you're going to raise the kasha. Mevarchin lebesula shiva ula amana yom echad. Yet we learned that what? That for a besula, for a first marriage, we have sheva brachas, right? 7 days of brachas ula amana, but for a widow, only 1 day. So my love, afilu amana shenis leis lebachar. That is, they're not referring, in the case of amana, is they're not referring even to a case of an amana who married a bachar. Meaning, also, let's say an amana married bachar in this context just means a man who's never been married before. So you're not telling me that even in a case where he's never been married before, there's only going to be 1 day of shara brachas. Now this contradicts what we said before, because beforehand, what did we say, Rabosai? What did we say? That if one of the parties has never been married before, there are 7 days of Sheva Brachas. Here the Gemara seems to be inferring that there'd only be 1 day of Sheva Brachas, to which the Gemara says, Lo li almon. No, this is talking about a case where the widow married a widower. Aval a bachar mai. But what happens if she marries a bachar, i.e. first marriage, so shiva, then aloch lamai, so what? There are 7 days of celebration. Iachi, if that's the case, listening mevarchin the besula shiva ula amana sheniseis lebachar shiva ula amana yom echa. If that's the case, then why don't you say the following? Then why don't you say that when a besula gets married, she gets 7 days of Sheva Brachas, and to an Amona that married a Bachar gets 7 days of Sheva Brachas, but an Amona who married an Amon, a widower only gets 1 day, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why, Milsa Psikta Katoni. The Braisa wanted to state absolute rules, Deleka Besula de Batra Mishiva, because we'll say there is never a case of a Besula who has less than 7 days of Sheva Brachas, Vileka Amona de Batra Miyomechad, and in the case of Amona, there's never less than 1 day of Sheva Brachas. So the Braisa just wanted to state the absolute rules, but obviously there are variations. So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, so what do we say? So again, remember, obviously, first marriage for both of them, Sheva Brachas. But even more than that, as long as it's a first, and we say Sheva Brachas, 7 days of Sheva Brachas. And the truth is more than that, even when it's a first marriage only for one of the parties, still 7 days of Sheva Brachas. When it's a second marriage for both parties, then what? 1 day of Sheva Brachas, 1 day of Sheva Brachas, as many meals as they have on that day, but still 3 days of mandated Simcha. Okay, and that is all halacha lemaisa. Gufa, the Gemara raises the kasha. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna bar Nasan, Tana minayin lebirchas chasanin ba'asara. So we'll say, now we're going to go back a little bit and discuss the source for Sheva Brachas requiring a minyan.
How do we define Simcha?
Simcha for our purposes right now means not going to work. Not going to work. Being home with your kala, being home with your spouse. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, so Huna Bar Nosan said to me, "Minayin lebirchas chasan ba'asara? How do we know that Sheva Brachas requires a minyan? Shene emar, because the pasuk says, Vayikach asara anoshe mizikne ha'ir, vayomer shavu po." So let's remember. So this opinion, Huna Bar Nosan said that we learn out the concept of a minyan for Sheva Brachas by Rus and Boaz. That Boaz assembled 10 men in order to go ahead and sit by the entranceway of the city in order to go ahead and be the minyan for the Sheva Brachas of him and Rus. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Avo says, no, mehacha. He learned that from a different source. Well, so listen to how beautiful this is. B'makilos baruch elokim Hashem mimkor Yisrael. So we'll say, he quotes on the pasuk and tell him, B'makilos baruch elokim Elokim Hashem im Kor Yisrael means literally Makelos means in large groups we will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimekor Yisrael from the womb of Israel. Now what does this mean? Look at Rashi. The Makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem im Kor Yisrael Al Birchas Mekor, literally on the bracha of the womb. I will say, what's the bracha of the womb? So I was assuming this refers to Sheva Brachas. So on the brachas of the womb, Tzarech Kahal, you need an assembly. I will say, what's the most basic definition of an assembly? V'hainu asara. This refers to 10. Kimo hakel es ha'eda. V'ein hakel or v'ein hakel. V'ein hakel b'pachos me'asara. B'pachos me'eda. There is no such thing as a kahal with less than an eda. And how much is an eda? V'eda asara. An eda is a minimum of 10. Where do we know that? Kidialfinon me'adas miraglim admasay le'eda hara. So we'll say the truth is we learn this out also a minion from elsewhere. But the idea, because again, remember, this refers to the Meraglim. The Meraglim were 12 minus Yoshua and Kalev, which tells you that the Eda is 10. So there's only Makelo Se'eda. There's only a Kahal when there's an Eda. Eda is 10. So Rabbi Avo learns out, same concept, that whenever you are speaking about Brachos of the womb, and Brachos of the womb in this context refers to Sheva Brachos, therefore you require 10 as well. So we'll say both are agreeing. Both Huna Bar Nosan and Rabbi Avo are agreeing that you require a minyan of people for Sheva Brachas. What do they disagree about? They disagree about the source. And here's what's beautiful. So Rav Nachman, Bahai Krad Rabbi Avo, Mai Darishpe. So Rav Nachman learns it out from Boaz. What does he learn from this Pasuk of Makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Kari Yisrael? Mi boile lechidisanya. We need it for the following Braisa. Hayu Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir says, listen to how beautiful most of this is. Minayin Shav. Afilu ubrim shebemai iman amru shira alayam. How do we know that when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yamsuf, even the babies, even the fetuses in utero sang shira, even the children in their mother's womb sang shira. Shneamar b'makelos baruch hu Elokim Hashem mimkor Yisrael. Because the pasuk says literally when we were all assembled, i.e. when we were singing shira, everyone blessed God, even those in the makar. even those in the womb of their mothers. V'idach, and Rabbi Avahu will say, well, if that's what the Pasuk meant, in Cain, lema krami beten. Why doesn't the Pasuk say in the stomachs of their mother? My mimkar, why does it have to use lashon makar, the source of the womb? Al iske makar. Because the Pasuk is coming to teach us, whenever you speak about matters of the womb, i.e., sheva brachos, it has to be done with makilas, it has to be done with a minyan. Rabbi Avahu. Hi, Rabbi Avahu, b'hai krad Rav Nachman, my darish bay. What does Rabbi Avahu, who learns about Makelos, what does he do with the pasuk from Rus and Boaz? So hahu mi b'ayli lemedrash, amoni v'lo amonis, mo'avi v'lo ma'as. Well, say, listen to this. Rabbi Avahu says, no, you've got it all wrong. The reason Boaz assembled these men was not for sheva brachas. What he assembled these men for was to review the halacha of what? Amoni velo amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. Because I must remember, he was reviewing that the prohibition on the members of Amon and Moav are only on the male members of these nations, not on the female. The reason he had to review this halacha was because he was about to marry Rus. So he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that what he was doing was unequivocally permitted. So the Gemara said, "Deisakatayt chalabracha," because if you want to say that it was for Shavu Brachas, lo sagid lavzakin. And why did he have to assemble the elders? Right? He could have just assembled any 10 men to form a minyan for Shavu Brachas. The fact that he assembled the elders was what Rabbah said, because again, he was reviewing halacha and wanted to know that the leaders, the halachic leaders, understood what the halacha was. V'idach, and the other opinion was Rabbi Avahu will say, "Isakadayt chalamedrish." Well, if you want to say that he was just reviewing the halacha of amoni v'lo amonis, mo'avi v'lo mo'avis, well, right, is it enough to say that there weren't 10? Right, meaning why do you need 10? Why does it have to be 10 people? He could assemble 3 people there in a sedef. He could assemble 2 people there. Why do you need a minion? To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. In lefarsume milsa. You do need it. You know why you need it? You need it in order to publicize the matter. And we'll say, now what that means is that when there is 10 people together, lemaisa again, that creates a pirsum. That creates publicity surrounding this particular thing. Good. Amar li Shmuel Rav Chana Bagarata, as Shmuel said to Rav Chana Bagarata, puk va'aisi li be'asara. Go out and gather for me 10 people. The emulacha ba'anfayo, and I will say in front of them, ha'mezaki l'uber kona. So I'll say, this has nothing to do with our sugya. This is just by way of example, right? That Shmuel wanted to say that the halacha was that you could convey ownership of something to an uber, to a child in utero. So the Gemara says over here, Rashi says over here, Hamazake matana ayde acher, that you could convey ownership to a child in utero through a third party. If so, we'll say, but why is the Gemara bringing this up? The Gemara is bringing this up because when Shmuel wanted to make this halacha known, he said to Rav Chana Bagarata, gather 10 people, gather a minion, right? And I'm going to say this halacha. And once I say in front of a minion, what happens? Word will get out. So to over here, Boaz is not just interested in reviewing the halacha, but Boaz wants word to get out about what the halacha is. Therefore, he gathers a group of people, of 10 people. But everything emerges says over here. The hilchus of the halacha is hamzake le'uber lo kana. But so this indeed is halacha lemaisa as well. You cannot convey ownership of something to an uber. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, what comes out? So now we've gotten down our laws of sheva brachas. We know when sheva brachas apply and the duration of sheva brachas. Now we've also established that sheva brachas require a minyan. Just only machlokes in Rabbi Avahu and Rav Nachman is the source for that particular halacha. Is it Boaz or is it ultimately again the pasuk and Tehillim? But either way, everyone's agreeing that you require the minyan for sheva brachas. So now the Gemara goes weiter. Rabbi says it's very beautiful. Tchon Rabbanon. You go ahead and you make sheva. Now we're assuming birchas chasanim means sheva brachas. You make sheva brachas in bebeis chasanim, in the home of the chasanim. Rabbi said, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says bebeis chasanim kishenichnas al the chuppah nisuan. Rabbi said, remember, this refers to the chuppah. Beis chasanim refers to the chuppah. Either because what it means is, as I mentioned before, that they used to get married in a home owned by the chassan, right? They would build a house, it would be the chassan's house, they'd get married in that house, that was the chassan's house, or also referring to the concept we will see later on, that the chuppah is supposed to be the chassan's. The chassan is supposed to own the chuppah. In fact, some are actually makvid that the chassan himself should rent the actual chuppah space from the hall, right? That he should own it. It should be his. So the point over here is you make you recite Sheva Brachas in after the chuppah, under the chuppah. Ubirchas Erusin, Babesa Erusin, and you recite the brachas of Erusin, and Abba say, we'll discuss what these aren't just small, but the brachas when you do Kiddushin in the house of Erusin, where, meaning wherever Erusin takes place. So Birchas Erusin, my Mevarich. Abba say, what is the bracha for Erusin? Ravin Barav Ada, Varav Barav Ada, Tarvayu Mishmed Rav Yehuda Amri. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Rabbi said, "This is Birchas Erusin. Asher Kiddushan Mitzvosav. You have sanctified us with your mitzvos. V'tzivon Ala Arayos. You have commanded us regarding immorality. V'asalana Sarusos. And you have prohibited us to live with our wife when she is only in Arusa. V'hitilana Sanasuos Adichupa V'kiddushin. And you permitted to us the Nisuos. Right, once there is Nisuin, you have permitted the woman to me through Chupa and Kiddushin, to us through Chupa and Kiddushin. Rabbi said, now that's the bracha. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Mesayim Ba Mishmei D'Rav Yehuda. So we'll say Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, the son of Rava, added in an ending, a concluding bracha for this bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Ayidei Chupa V'Kiddushin. But because Baruch Hu, you are the source of all blessing who sanctifies the Jewish people through Chupa and Kiddushin. So we'll say, interesting enough, everybody is agreeing on the first part of the bracha. There seems to be a machlokes if you had a concluding bracha or not. So Rav Acha Brei D'Rava had a concluding bracha, but yet again, Ravin Barav Ada and Rabba Barav Ada both said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda the bracha without a concluding bracha. So what are they arguing about? Man Delo Chasim, the one who did not have a concluding bracha for Birchas Erusin, Tehava Abirchas Peros, because we'll say it's no different than brachas over fruit. So what does that mean? Borei Prashis, Borei Priya Eitz. That a bracha doesn't need a concluding bracha. A bracha could just be a bracha tashno kinema lecholam, subject, and boom, you're done. You don't need a concluding bracha afterwards. However, on the other opinion says, midi tehava Abirchas Peros, Abirchas Mitzvos, no different than brachas you make over fruit, or that brachas you make over mitzvos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Birchas Mitzvos, ala shchita, v'ala mila, dechevan dekula chada hodahi. Because also remember, in this bracha, it's all one praise. Ve'ein hefsek bakasha bein saim. There's no hefsek. So sometimes you have to have a concluding bracha when you begin the bracha with a particular subject, and then you go to another subject. You have to have a concluding bracha to kind of bring it all together. But in this particular bracha, the entire bracha is about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prohibited to us arayos and permitted to us to live with our wives as long as there was proper chuppah v'kiddushin. Therefore, it remains on subject. Because it remains on subject, there's no need for an additional concluding bracha. V'in hefsek bakasha v'in sayim lo bayech hasima kidamar ba'arvei psachim birchas hamitzas ta'amayim mishon ha'odahi hana mikula ha'odahi. This is a bracha of thanksgiving, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the institution of marriage. Therefore, there's no need for a concluding bracha. On the other hand, uman de chasim, the one who says that no, you need a concluding bracha, baruch ato Hashem, mekadesh yisra de chupa v'kiddushin, says midi dehava akidusha, because this bracha is like kiddush. We're supposed to look at Rashi, midi dehava akidusha, kevan de belashon kiddushahu, since it uses lashon of kiddusha. Right, you must remember the Asher Kiddusham Mitzvosav. Right, therefore again, it's like Kiddush. It's like Kiddush. It's just like, I mean, Kiddush refers to Shabbos. Kiddush on Shabbos, and therefore again, who ki Kiddush Hayom Chasminon Ba Ki Hasam Dabahi Chasminon Mishum Diyesh Ba Hefzik Kegon Ki Yom Tchilah Mikra Yikolish. Now, also remember on Shabbos, if you notice by Kiddush, we begin with a bracha and we end with a bracha. Why? Because on Shabbos, we do go on to different themes over the course of Kiddush, right? We say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We say this is the first day. This was the end of creation. We speak about a lot of different things. And therefore, again, although we begin Kiddush with a bracha, we also end it with what? Baruch Ato Hashem Nekadesh HaShabbos. Therefore, the second opinion says that since this bracha also speaks about sanctification, therefore, again, what? It should follow the Shabbos model and therefore have a concluding bracha as well. I will tell you something amazing. So we paskin. I'll tell you something really amazing. This verbiage over here is virtually the same exact verbiage we use for the bracha of Erusin today. There's only one exception. If you look, our bracha that we say today is Baruch Ata Hashem Kirim Melech Olam Asher Kiddusham Mitzvosav Asher Kiddusham Mitzvosav V'tzivan Ala Arayos V'asa Lana Sanasuos Arusos V'heter Lana Sanasuos Aydei Chupa V'kiddushin. That's all the same. We say that. We do insert a concluding bracha as well, Baruch Ato Hashem, we just add in Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Al Yedei Chupa V'Kiddushin. So isn't that amazing? The bracha we say now, thousands of years later, is the same exact bracha they said in the Gemara. Our marriages are affected with the same exact verbiage. We paskin that this bracha, Birchas Erusin, follows the model of Shabbos, and therefore, again, there is a concluding bracha that kind of brings the entire previous bracha together. Baruch Ato Hashem, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, Ayedei Chupa V'Kiddushin. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. Yashar Koach.